Hello and welcome to the Shepherd Walwyn podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Brown. Shepherd Walwyn is a campaigning book publisher based in London, England, whose purpose is to uncover and promote authors with new ideas to society's oldest problems, especially economic ones. Now today there's a slight change to our usual approach, as I will be interviewing myself. That's a little strange, I know, but in the last year I've had the honour of leading the revisions to the classic work Taken for a Ride, Trains, Taxpayers and the Treasury, written by Don Riley in 2001. Now, for those who don't know, Don was a property owner and landlord in Southwark in London. He started investing in what was then a rundown part of London in the 1970s to house his own employees and kept on investing in properties in the region. His properties were massive beneficiaries of the Jubilee Line extension that opened in 1999. This added 11 new stations to the Jubilee Line from Green Park and Westminster in the centre of the city all the way to Stratford via Canary Wharf in the East End of London. Now, Don was incensed at just how much money he and other landowners made thanks to the £3.5 billion taxpayer investment. Not only did he consider this to be morally wrong, you should pay for the benefits you get, but he also saw how it damaged our entire enterprise economy. His book, Taken for a Ride, written with the support from head Fred Harrison, was his attempt to draw people's attention to this. Now, we've thoroughly updated the book, and I want to take you through some of the additions. But before I do that, I want you to hear from Phil Anderson, author of The Secret Life of Real Estate and Banking, who knew Don well. Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Jonathan, it's good to be here.
So, Phil, we're celebrating and discussing the launch of Taken for a Ride, second edition. I just wonder if you could take us through, who was Don Riley?
Yeah, well, Don Riley wrote a fair amount in Taken for a Ride. I met Don, he was a friend of Fred Harrison's, 2005, 2006, something like that. And via Fred, Don offered me a workspace when I was trying to complete my book. So I got to know him fairly well in Southwark Street in his buildings. What he built there. So, yeah, he's a fine fella.
And what did you do together?
Don essentially built Southwark Street. And when I was working there in the office, it was the office above the Menier Theatre that he developed. And he was putting together a measurement of the gains he had made with what he'd built, which that's the first I'd heard of any landlord developer ever doing that. And he took me through it. Basically, for the story, throughout the 1990s, and certainly even before, I guess, 1988, 89, he saw firsthand the downturn and did some inquiries about why that might have happened in those years, came across Fred's book, made contact with Fred, and was a natural believer in the whole land thing because he was a developer. He had put an offer on a building in Southwark Street but was refused in 1989, thank goodness for him, which he said later. The building then just about halved in price. He put in another offer and was accepted. And from there, from the very early 1990s, he began building along Southwark Street into the London Bridge station. It's a remarkable story because as he started restoring some of the buildings, as that's what he loved to do, he then had to work out because that area that he was a bit, not a bit, it was certainly run down part of London at the time. He then had to start working out how he could make his holdings worth more by bringing more people into the area. One of the things he hit upon was to create a theatre, which he then subsequently built and developed, the Menier Theatre. And he built he bought a building for it, subsequently became one of London's, in fact, the only London theatre that doesn't get subsidised by government, which I thought was a tremendous effort. In the end, though, much of his activity in one sense didn't matter because Her Majesty's government then decided to build extend the Jubilee line right through London Bridge and out into Stratfield, out into Stratford. And once that was announced, his phone began to ring off the hook with people requesting or making offers for all of the property that he'd already built. So there's two things to that. What he then set about doing, which was so interesting and which was all included in the book Taken for a Ride, which Shepherd Wellwyn have now chosen to republish. It's been a great thing. But his original book, he documented the uplift in land values that happens when a underground line is put underneath the land that is owned, and especially was owned by him. And because he owned it, he was able to get up-to-date valuations practically every year of the increase in the worth, basically, of the land all around him, but more importantly, him, because he owned it. And the figures were quite staggering. I think he's possibly the only person in the world that's ever bothered to do that. And then even more spectacularly, turned around and said that actually the gain didn't belong to him, it belonged to the taxpayers. And the people and the taxpayers and the government, spending all the money on building it, were then getting screwed because the landowners were taking the gains. That was the first thing about Don. And I appreciate Shepherd Wellwyn deciding to reissue the book, because I know Jonathan, you've then updated some of the facts and figures in the book and what the land is actually now worth, and parts of it have doubled, I think. Wouldn't be surprised me if it has. And so that's the first thing. So I urge all property owners to actually grab a copy of this book and read it, because it will tell you how to buy strategically for maximum uplift, and you'll be able to quantify this for yourself. And if you haven't learned what economic rent is already, this is the book to do it. And the second thing, Jonathan, is about the whole Taken for a Ride and Don Reilly. He proved why you have to be a rentier and not a renter. In other words, you have to own property, and more particularly, you have to own land. It's not a building. You have to own land. Let me give you two examples. And it emphasises the ever-increasing importance of land, even as technology becomes everywhere and more active. I think the examples will make this obvious. Don owned the tallest building in Southwark Street, the tallest building south of the Thames for a mile or two. And of course, as the mobile towers came through, as the tech companies wanted to create the receivers and the antennas and stuff, the ground nearby the Thames on the south side of the river isn't so stable. That's why there's fewer tube stations and more above ground south of the Thames. Don just happened to have a building where the lift shaft was put on top of the building, not below ground, which made the building extra high. And so all of the tech companies and the phone companies were coming to him in order to be able to place their towers on his piece of land and building, which of course meant he could charge rent. So he did. He can do that as the building owner, as the landowner. So the second example is when eventually the congestion charge came in, and then you had Zipcars and Uber and all the other things. Some of the companies that had cars for hire and to zip around town in, Zipcars was one, of course, in London. They needed space in which to store some of their cars, or to keep them overnight, or indeed even to, as the electric cars came through, to recharge them. Don, of course, had a prime piece of land right in an area that was suitable for this type of activity. And again, as landlord, he's the winner. He can charge for the activity of doing that. So, Jonathan, I commend all of the podcast listeners and viewers to get this book. It's the only book in the world, Taken for a Ride by Don Reilly, and you know, with yourself, Fred Harrison, and Dave Wetzel having updated that whole book. It's the only book in the world that where a property owner has documented down to the last square metre, even to the square foot, the uptick, the uplift in land values and how much you can gain by owning land. You know, it's something that every property owner should read and just, you know, get the book. I think that's the only message I can give you.
So I hope that gives you plenty of reasons to go out and buy this book. I just want to give you a few more reasons, if I may. Firstly, it's just such a unique and fabulous story. The idea of someone saying, I made too much money because the government are idiots or worse, I just think is absolutely fabulous. The book, on a serious note, is an excellent introduction to the corruption and the corrupting effect of our tax system and the effect that that has not just on our towns and cities, but on the entire enterprise economy. Why should anyone make an honest living doing their job or running a business when they'll be massively taxed for doing it and when they can instead capture other people's gains by owning land, especially land near well-thought-out public infrastructure projects? Now, I did research for the second edition and interviewed a number of people still working in transport today around the world, and they all agreed that Don's arguments that infrastructure projects could and should be financed through local taxes on the land value uplift, they all agreed with that. And they all agreed that it was impossible to get these ideas through Parliament, as those who currently benefit the most from the current government handouts are the landowning elite. So it is down to us as citizens to campaign for changes in the law so that we can start having better cities that are financed by investments that we make and we capture the gains that land value and that currently get in order to finance these projects and other ones. Now, one of the things that was deeply gratifying when doing the research is that Don showed that you could literally plot land value gains on a map following a new station or station upgrade. And this has been emulated in a much more detailed and professional manner by Transport for London, who commissioned KPMG and Savills to do a much larger study of Don's pioneering work. And they confirmed everything that Don experienced, and we cover this in the book. We also confirm what the research shows makes for a successful public transport investment. And these are the criteria that you can use as an investor and a future property owner to gauge whether or not you should be investing in and around new ideas for public infrastructure investments. Now, in the original work, Don looks at other transport projects around the world, and rather than updating those, we decided to take a deeper dive into Crossrail, which is now the Elizabeth Line, and the fabulous gains that have come along that line for the landowners. And what the market data shows, and we go into massive detail in this in the book, is that landowners are still making fortunes from public investments, showing that we still have public investment and private profit, and it's alive and well. And this is something that we want to change, and this starts by you reading the book and getting agitated and campaigning, especially in Britain, in an election year, and in America as well, for a fairer approach to making investments in infrastructure that benefit everybody, but currently, financially, only benefit landowners around the sites where those public investments are made. So get hold of the book, have a read of it, tell us what you think, and then also tell your local politician that you want this system to be changed. Thanks very much. To explore these ideas further, be sure to visit shepherdwalwin.com and join our mailing list for news and special offers, and also to buy the books. So until next time, keep reading.